just lift him up right now. Come on, right where you're at, lift your hands. Oh, come on, let worship just begin to flow from you right now. Woo, come on, it's easy in this atmosphere to begin to lift him up right now. And generations falling down in worship, sing the song of ages to the Lord. And all who've gone before us, all who will believe, sing a song of ages to the Lord. Oh, your name is the highest, your name is the greatest, your name stands above them all. All thrones and dominions, all powers and positions, your name stands above them all. And the angels cry,
your name is the greatest, your name Oh, can we cry out holy tonight? Oh, have you been redeemed? Come on, have you been delivered tonight? Cry out holy. If you've been blood bought, cry out holy. Oh, let the people say holy tonight. Let the church say holy tonight. Oh, come on, we have a song that the angels cannot sing. Oh, we're singing it because we've been blood bought. Hear your people tonight, Jesus. Lift our hands all over the house tonight. Let's entertain His presence in this room. Come on, from pre-service prayer till now, the Holy Ghost has been ministering. The Holy Ghost has been moving. God's confirming His church. God's confirming His people and His word tonight. Oh, mighty God, by your spirit. God, I love you, I love you, I love you, I love you, I love you. Oh, let's give the Lord a hand clap of praise tonight. We thank you, Lord, my God. We thank you, Lord, my King. Praise God, amen. God bless you. You can be seated. Asking our ushers to prepare to receive the Wednesday night tithe and offering. What a sweet presence of the Lord is in this house. Amen. Amen. Don't forget your daily devotion, your personal time of Bible reading and prayer, your weekly fasting. Remember to pass out church cards, invite folks to the house of God. God is still moving, even in our temporary location. The church has shifted tonight. This is the branch work, and all of a sudden, this has become the main church. I'm not sure what's happening tonight, but we're thankful for what God is doing in this house. And to the men that have been working with us, tomorrow night is a monumental moment. We are starting to take the roof off the old building, and hopefully by Saturday evening, if at the latest Sunday afternoon, that roof will be completely off, ready for new foundation and new extension, and then eventually new trusses. And someone said, what if it rains? What if it rains? Trees are in the water. Concrete's on the water. You walk on wet sidewalk, it's all right. It'll dry out. It'll dry out. So we're going to look forward to that. It's going to be a great time. I encourage someone to drive by and take a look at it, and maybe even get out and help. Praise God. But let's stand tonight. Let's pray for those that are not here tonight. Let's pray for those that are homesick, recovering, and let's pray for the offering. Savior, we love you. We thank you for your presence in this house tonight. Lord, we ask you to bless all those who are not able to attend service tonight. We ask you, God, to visit them where they are. Touch their minds, their hearts, their souls, their bodies, their spirits. We ask you to bless the offering tonight, the gift and the giver. We give you praise and glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's sing and worship as the ushers come.
Worthy is the Lamb.
Worthy is
let's adore him right now. Come on. Lift up the name of Jesus. Oh, lift up the name of Jesus tonight. Oh, we worship you. We praise you. Thank you, Lord, my King. Amen, amen. Pardon me tonight if we don't take time for our meet and greet. If we get through this as quickly as possible, maybe we can meet and greet afterwards. Amen. God bless you. You can be seated tonight. Amen. Remember Sister Tani in your prayers at the passing of her mother. And that God would bring comfort tonight. Also Brother David's home recovering from surgery. Amen. Before we begin tonight, I want to say that this has been on my mind, and so I want to say it. My success as a pastor is not in the buildings that we may build, but the church that we put inside it. There are a lot bigger buildings, a lot more money spent, a lot more beautiful facilities than we could probably ever build. But all of that comes down to what are we putting inside that building. I want a church that I can present to Jesus without spot, without wrinkle, without any such thing, that is holy, chaste, desiring to live for him. And so we have endeavored to start teaching this lesson. In fact, our first lesson on holiness and separation was July 9th. I recognize the fact that it's the middle of August and we still have not got through it. But tonight is part three. It is the final part of this lesson that was supposed to be just one lesson. I don't know how you would teach all of that. I don't know if I would want to offend that many people in one service. Can we spread it out just enough? But I will go back to what I read the first night that we started this. This is the subject that gets most people to either quit church or change churches, or heaven forbid, go back to false doctrine, which if you're changing church for the wrong reason, I guess you're already in that. The oneness of God, Jesus' name, baptism in front of the Holy Ghost isn't really the problem. Occasionally someone might leave over the oneness, but most people. In fact, we had a guy one time that came through. He was a satanic worshiper. He came through with the all the paraphernalia. In fact, he brought stuff to church one service and said, what do you do with all this? The cross he was wearing or the necklace he was wearing that night had the satanic symbol on it. And he prayed through, we baptized him, he spoke in tongues, and we found out that we were oneness. He said, I would rather go back to satanic, worshiping Satan, than not worshiping the Trinity. I said, when you were worshiping the Trinity, you were worshiping Satan. So there may be the occasional people that don't like the oneness of God, but nevertheless, when they leave, when they go, And I've been reading this every night, every Wednesday night, because I want to make sure that we understand that this is not something that is light. They usually don't go back and take their holiness with them. They usually don't go back and say, well, I didn't believe in the oneness of God, but I'm taking this holiness lifestyle with me. Outward holiness still matters. Outward holiness still matters, and the people who rejected God-given revelation that he has given them for it have a lot of explaining to do. So this kind of makes a segue, because the last thing I wrote here was Romans 10, 16 through 17, who hath believed our report, faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. And finishing off, Brother O'Connor, if you would prepare to read tonight, finishing off lesson number two that we didn't finish last week. What we hear affects us as well. Not only what we see, we talked about the eye, but what we hear. Who we allow to speak into our life affects us. Can I just, oh, help me, Lord. Go to Romans chapter 10. For those of you that have your Bible, and I know that is everybody. It was one amen, but everybody has their Bible, right? Praise God. He said this. How then shall they call on him whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him in whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? Verse number 15. And how shall they preach except they be sent? Just for the record, there's only one pastor in this church. There's only ever been one pastor in this church. And you better be careful who you allow to speak into your life in a pastoral sense and position. Faith cometh by hearing, conviction cometh by hearing. And we can't allow people to be stronger, weaker. The Bible says that faith cometh by hearing. Go ahead and read Romans 10:17, Brother O'Connor.
So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God.
Faith cometh by hearing. Conviction comes by hearing. Hearing. What we hear affects us. I didn't know that was a problem. Now I do. I didn't know that was an issue. Now I do. The Bible also says, he that hath an ear to hear, let him hear. Mark chapter 4 and verse number 24.
And he said unto them, take heed what ye hear. With what measure ye meet, it shall be measured to you, and unto you that hear shall more be given.
And then go ahead and read Luke 8:8.
And other fell on good ground and sprang up and bare fruit an hundredfold. And when he had said these things, he cried, he that hath ears to hear, let him hear.
There is a place where we can hear the things of God and produce and fruit will come from it. How do we know that we've got revelation? What are we producing after we hear it? Are we going to continue in what we believed before we heard it? Or are we going to apply the seed, the word of God, to our heart? Yes, it is my job to plant the seed, but it's your job to water the seed, to nurture the seed, to protect the seed so that the fowls of the air don't come and take it. You don't want to spring up. That was Kondra. We were pulling weeds Tuesday. It was hot. It was hot. We were dripping sweat. And I thought to myself, that scripture, they spring up but have no root in them. I thought, this one got something. And it looked good. But you know what? When I finally broke it loose, there really was no root. There really wasn't much root. They spring up for a moment, but the word, by and by, the word offends them. We got to get over this being offended by the word and realize what it is conviction. And we got to respond to conviction in the right way. God, let it prick my heart. God, let it work on me. It may take me some time, but let it talk to me. Let it work on me. Let it change me. I don't want to go home offended when all God was trying to do with his word was convict us. So go ahead and read Revelation chapter 2 and verse number 7.
He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God.
He's saying, look, you got to overcome. If you want the reward, if you want the benefits, if you want the blessings. The other day I was walking down the hallway putting my belt on and didn't have my shoes quite on. My hat was kind of perched up on top of my head because I hadn't got finished getting dressed yet. And I was putting my belt on and Rhett goes, Pop, Pop, where you going? I said, heaven, I hope. He said, I won't go with you. I said, oh, buddy, that's the whole point of all of this. If we can just get our families and wrap our children in our arms and come to the house of God and take them to heaven. My God, he that hath an ear, let him hear. This is where the family's saved. This is where the children are saved. In the house of God is where our families will make it to heaven. He that heareth. He that hath an ear, let him hear. What the soul is worship the Lord tonight. What the Spirit saying to the church. Amen, 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 amen. 1 Timothy 1:4.
Neither give heed to fables and endless genealogies which minister questions, rather than godly edifying, which is in faith.
We need so people to encourage one another, not cause doubt and questions and fears and genealogies and my calling and your calling. We need people to encourage. If someone comes to you saying, man, I'm not even sure what pastor preached tonight. I'm not sure if I believe that. Encourage them. Encourage them. Don't discourage them. Don't knock them down. Don't bust up their convictions. Encourage them. Speak the thing. Be careful who you let speak and minister questions. Titus 1:14.
Not giving heed to Jewish fables and commandments of men that turn from the truth.
There are people that will tell you it doesn't take all this, but they turn you from the truth. Right. They're saying other things. It's commandments of men. Oh, people will say that this is all man-made. Man, if this is man-made, why is it in the Bible? Why do we have scriptural evidence and proof for it? And just remember this also. We're living in the same law, the same rule, the same. I was outside Tuesday pulling weeds, living the same standard that I preach.
Right.
I didn't let my circumstance change it. I didn't let the heat change it.
Right.
I didn't let the fact that nobody was there change it. If that was the case, I'd be a hypocrite. I'd be doing my own thing and preaching something different. This is for all of us, ministry, pastor included, and pastor's kids. You know, you go to some churches, once they have kids, they let down a little bit. Once they have grandkids, it's over. I want to take my grandkids to heaven.
Right.
The only way I know to get them to love God is to raise them and raise my family the same way I raised my sons. Loving God, backing the preacher, backing what the church is doing, and saying, here it is. And we're going to be careful who speaks into our life. We're going to be super careful who ministers questions into us. James 1:19.
Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls.
Receive with meekness. Receive with meekness. Not questioning, not fighting. Hey, you can have questions. You can have doubts. You can even struggle with things. But do it with meekness. If you genuinely want to know an answer to something, do it with meekness.
Right.
When you draw a line saying never, you know, I think it was Kingdom Speak. I can't remember. It doesn't matter. It's true anyway. I've said this before. That. I don't want to demand respect. I don't want to demand trust. In fact, I told Kondra just the other day, I said, you don't like the way these guys speak to you at the job site sometimes? I said, return what they say to you with respect. Just keep doing it. Eventually, they'll start talking to you with respect. But if you question everything they say, they're going to argue and they're going to win. They're men. They got bosses. It's just the way life is. So you gotta do. If you want respect, you give respect. I don't demand respect. I don't demand trust. I hope I can earn it. But some folks have set the bar so high,
right,
and put the price so high that it's impossible for anybody. They have all these parameters of what they want you to do to reach them, but then put all these roadblocks so you can't. I don't demand submission. But I hope I live a life that's submitted. In fact, I talked to my pastor today. I told Elder Morton. I said, I'm just going to remind you. You're 86 years old. I'm 51, going to be 52 in a couple months. You still have veto power in my life. I talked to one pastor today that talked about somebody. Said they've never listened to me. They've never done what I told them to do. I don't want my pastor to have to ever say that about me. I want to come to him. I may have questions. I may have doubts. I may have concerns. But I want the spirit of meekness to be upon me so I can be engrafted. Hey, I'm the wild vine. I'm the outcast. I want to be in the bride. So I got to be grafted in. That word that's able to save us. Go ahead and read.
But be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves.
Can I just interrupt real quick? Pardon me. We are all, you can't hear. Let me, they're trying. Praise God. Every one of us tonight are hearers of the word. Every one of us right now, whether you want to be or not, you are a hearer of the word. Whether you understand my words, whether I can enunciate them enough, whether I can speak clearly enough, and maybe I need speech therapy. It seems that way at times. What are you laughing at, Lily? You need more therapy than speech therapy, then. Charity told me all about it last night. No. Esther's loving this because now her happy birthday, Esther. We're all hearers of it. But if we walk out of these doors and don't do it, we are forgetful hearers. We heard it, but did it go in? Did it penetrate? Did it pierce our heart? Go ahead and read.
For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he is or he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed.
If we hear the word and we do the word, then we will be blessed in whatever we do. Our deed. In his deeds. It didn't say indeed. It was in his deeds. That means my life will have blessings. Y'all can say something about that. My life will have blessings because I'm doing what I heard. My life will have fruit that is grown from it because I'm doing what I heard. My deeds, why do people, their lives fall apart and they try to find some spiritual reason why it's falling apart? And there may be times that things fall apart for spiritual reasons, but not all life should be that hard. I've come to give you life and that more abundantly. There's got to be times where we've obeyed the word of God and God gives us life more abundantly. It may be sitting in the backyard watching your kids and grandkids play cornhole or a bunch of people at your house or coming to church and worshiping God with your family. That may be the blessings of God that you have, but there's blessings there. And so he's going to be blessed in his deeds. Take heed unto thyself. 1 Timothy 4:16. Take heed to thyself unto the doctrine and continue in them. This is what I am trying to do. Take heed unto thyself. I want to be a better person. You ought to want to be a better person. I want to be a better person. I want to take heed to myself and the doctrine. And I want to continue in them. For in doing this, thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. If I'm going to do anything, I want to save myself and all them that will listen. Well, we heard it, yeah, but the Bible also says them that gladly received his word. To them, he said, them that gladly received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. Them that gladly received him were baptized. My mom asked me yesterday, she said, when were the 120 baptized in the upper room? I said, well, the same time the 3,000 were. She said, I never thought about it. I was just asking. I'm just sitting here at home recovering from surgery. She goes, I thought, well, I know he's not having church tonight. I'll ask him. And I thought, well, the Bible doesn't say, but I'm assuming they listened to the same message that Peter preached. Right. You know, what I'm saying is every once in a while a question like that will come up. And you think, well, that was a dumb question. No, it wasn't. Not if you're hungry for truth. Well, come on.
Come on.
Is there really a dumb question? The one you don't ask, I've always heard was a dumb question. Hey, just for clarification. Yeah. Brother Booker, that time he told that man, said, you're telling me I got to be baptized in Jesus' name, filled with the Holy Ghost, and speak with other tongues to be saved? And Brother Booker said, how long have you been in this church? I thought he said 4 years when he told the story the first time I heard it. When I retold him that story just a few years ago, probably about 4 years ago, he said, no, brother, it was 40 years. He had been in church for 40 years and didn't know you had to be baptized in Jesus' name and filled with the Holy Ghost with the evidence to speak other tongues to be saved. I thought if that man has been in church for 40 years, and part of that time, Bishop Larry Booker was his pastor, that I don't want to take it for granted that people got an understanding of what it takes to be saved. I want to preach it over and over and over. I want to save myself and them that hear me. Amen. So being set apart, we've been talking about holy. Holy is sacred. Holy is set apart. Okay? The Bible says, and we'll get there tonight, it says, come out from among them and be ye separate. That literally means to sever. There are some things you got to sever.
Right.
You know, if you still got strings attached to things, you can find your way back to them. It's gotta be like severing a tendon in your leg where it goes all the way up, and they can't find it. It's gotta be like the rope broke, and it got pulled out somewhere else. There's no way to find your way back. You know why the children of Israel went the long way? Why God sent them the long way to the promised land? Because the short way they would figure out how to get back sooner. Even the long way they wandered for 40 years and some of them didn't make it. I got to sever some things. I got to cut some things off. So what sets us apart in where we go and what we do? Where you take your physical body and what actions you do tell a great story to the world. Where we go and what we do tells a story to the world. I've met people who were in church all their life. Would have thought nothing of them, Brother Ken, other than they've been in church all their life. I met some of their coworkers one time. I asked a man one time, it was a highway patrolman. I got pulled over. I wasn't trying to name drop. I just wanted to ask if they knew who this person was. I said, you know so-and-so? Yeah, I know so-and-so. How do you know so-and-so? Oh, man, I go to church with them. And I'm not talking about new convert church. I'm talking about they were there when I got there at 8 years old. And I'm obviously old enough to drive. In fact, we were dating. That's how old I was. This guy had been in church a long time. They said, he goes to church? I thought, my God, I want my coworkers. You know that young lady that was sitting in the back row right here the other night with her child? That's one of Connor's coworkers. He thought, well, of all the people that I would invite to church that would come, she said, hey, what time's church? Where's the location? You know, I want everyone I work with, everyone I encounter, to know I go to church.
Amen.
I want everybody that meets me, sees me, asks something about me to know. The one thing I know about him is he goes to church. He's involved in his church. He's sold out. I want my story to be told. This is why we must remain separate from the world. We are in the world, but we are not a part of the world. We are to love sinners, but not the sin. We are to be examples to others, but not go the places the world goes and do the things the world does. This is not in any self-project a holier-than-thou attitude or a better-than-you spirit, but simply stated, we are separating ourselves from sin. If I'm working on a car, I want to put coveralls on. If I'm wearing a white shirt, it's going to get dirty. I don't care how careful I am, it's going to get dirty. Have you ever opened the hood of a car? I'll just check the oil. You're going to get dirty. You don't take a clean, holy thing to a dirty, filthy place and get shocked when it gets dirty. The Bible said that the priest checked the body of the person with leprosy, which is a type and shadow of sin, and the garment of the person, because if they were clean of leprosy and they put on a garment that still had leprosy on it, guess what? They were a leper again. I want to make sure that I'm clean. I'm not holier than thou. I'm in the world. I got problems, but I want to do everything I can to make sure I'm clean. Amen. We must ever maintain a separate position in life. John 17:15, Jesus said that we should not be taken out of the world, but kept from it. Go ahead and read John 17:15.
I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from the evil.
Don't take us out of it. Meaning, we're still going to be in this world. I'm in it, not of it. But I don't want to be so heavenly minded, I'm no earthly good. How can we save people if we're not here? You know, there's a mindset during all this chaos of COVID and whatever, this mindset of going in the mountains and building walls and having little communes. I ain't going. I ain't going. Y'all can go by yourself. I ain't going. I don't want to be trapped in a wall with nobody for that long. I got to walk amongst the people like Jesus did. And I got to be something that they're asking. What's different about him? Why is he still smiling when everything's going crazy? Why is he still worshiping God? Why is he still showing up for church when life's falling apart? I want them to ask that question. So I can't be taken out of it, but I can be kept from evil. 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse number 14 through 18. Go ahead and read.
Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? And what concord hath Christ with Belial? And what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore, come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty.
He said, come out from among them. Don't touch them. That's why we don't date sinners. That's why we don't say, well, we'll marry them and we'll convert. That ain't going to work.
Right.
It ain't going to work. We don't do that. We shouldn't even be looking. We shouldn't be looking for folks in different religions. Lily told me last night that they couldn't afford to convert, but I should. I go, that would be weird. Is that what she said? That's what she said. That's not what you meant, but that is what you said. I can't do it. If you can't do it, I can't do it for you. But we're not going to go out in the world and say, oh, she's cute, he's cute, let's try to get them in church. No. Well, there's nobody here. Then wait, pray, fast. Go to conferences. Teach Bible studies. I understand. I grew up in a larger church. I knew my wife since I was 8 years old. We weren't obviously dating back then, but I've known her since 1981, okay? that is different. But I'm going to tell you something. Just because you're in a small church doesn't mean it's the only small church in Pentecost. And people still get married. And there are worse things. There are let me say it again. I haven't even finished it, but I'll say it again. There are worse things than being single. And being married to the wrong person is worse than being single. You got to make sure you find one that's equally yoked together. If we're going to pull our family to church, let's do it together. If we're going to work in this thing, let's do it together. When I'm there, you're there. When I'm there and you're there, our kids are there. That's what it's all about. And so we want to make sure that we do this. And what's the next? The very next chapter says what? 7:1.
Having therefore these promises.
What promises? That if we're equally yoked together, we're going to prosper. And we're going to be holy. And God's going to be a father to us. Having these promises, dearly beloved.
Let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God.
Because I've got promises. We all want to hang our hat on promises. And I thank God for them. They're yea and amen. And if he never makes me another one, he's already given me the promise of the Holy Ghost, and that ought to be enough. Calvary is still enough. If I never have anybody ever prophesy over my life and tell me I'm a pastor 500 people in the city of Nampa, wonderful. If you don't ever prophesy ever comes, wonderful. I have a promise already. And because I already have a promise, I want to perfect holiness in the reverence. God, if you're holy, I want to be holy like you. God, if you call yourself holy and ask me to be holy like you, be ye holy, for I, the Lord your God, am holy, then I want to be holy like you. Not in my interpretation of holiness, not in my mindset of what I think holiness ought to be, and not even because I changed a little bit. Thank God for any change towards holiness. But I don't want to stop there. What does a holy God look like? He said, you can't even see me. You can't even look at me. I'm so holy. I got a long way to go. You know, I told somebody the other night, we talked about self-justification. I said, look, a righteous man falls 7 times. A righteous man falls 7 times. 7 is the number of perfection. It's God's number. You know what that means? You know what the translation of that is? If we were reading the Message Bible, that a just man is a perfect mess. We're going to trip up. We're going to slip up. We're going to fall. But I got to get up again and in the fear and reverence of God, work on holiness. Right. I got dirty the other day. I got dirty. Kondra, we got dirty. It was dusty. It was nasty. But I took a shower. I used deodorant. I got Q-tips. And I went, I know they says in the box, don't go in there. But I went in there. How else are you going to get in there when you got hands like this? I went in there, and it took about 4 of them. And I already got a phobia of having dirty ears already, so I was really working on it. Because I want my wife to want to hug me later. I want my wife to want to say after dinner, I love you, and give me a kiss maybe. Some of you are freaking out, but hey, I got married. I found somebody. But if I stay dirty, she's not going to want to give me a hug. Well, come on, somebody. You want a relationship with God, but you want to stay dirty. You want to stay, well. I got a relationship with God, but you're filthy, and he's not going to touch you. Is this in love? I'm trying to preach this truth in love tonight. I'm not trying to be mean. I'm trying to save us all. We got promises. And I thank God for any progress. Controversial statement coming. For the record, this is being recorded and probably being listened to right now. For the record, my belief only. I'm not saying Bible. I'm not saying it's a doctrine, it's just my belief. I believe that there are people who have been baptized in Jesus' name, filled with the Holy Ghost, speaking in tongues, who have not yet perfected holiness. But they haven't perfected it because they don't know about it yet. They're on their way, and if they knew, they would do it. And so we're trying to get them there. I believe they will be saved. If their heart is right and they're going that direction, now I'm not talking about living in sin and doing things we shouldn't be doing, but they're trying. And if they've heard it and they're like, oh, I don't really know about that, that's a whole different story. But if they're going that direction, there's people who disagree with that. But I think he said, repent and be baptized, every one of you. All the rest of it didn't come till Romans. It was years down the road. They had to perfect some things. They had to learn some things. Okay? What I'm saying is this. I think it's the heart of man and the desire of man to be holy. If he's working on the Jesus on the inside, working on the outside. Oh, what a change in my life. I believe there are people who may be trying to figure it all out, and they got a heart for God, and they're hungry for God, and they want holiness. They just don't know. If they knew, they would do it, but they don't know yet, but they're working that way. And there are people who are pompous, and they're arrogant, and they're cocky, and God's not going to save them anyhow because they're a proud spirit and a proud look, and they got a holier-than-thou attitude. I don't want that spirit. I don't want that. God, I need you. God, I feel it in my spirit tonight. God, I'm not perfect. I may be a pastor, but I'm not perfect. But God, I'm trying. I'm striving. I'm trying to perfect this thing in the fear of God. In the fear of God. Amen. Hosea chapter number 7. I don't want to get ahead of myself here. I want to make sure I'm still in line with what I'm teaching. The curse of Ephraim was that he mixed with foreign people. Ephraim hath he mixed himself among the people. Ephraim is a cake not turned. Strangers, I know Brother O'Connor's back there, but I want to read this tonight. Strangers have devoured his strength, and he knew it not. He got amongst people like Solomon did, like Samson did. He got amongst people and started mixing with them. Solomon went so far as to start worshiping their gods and marrying strange wives and making altars to strange gods. But the Bible said he lost his strength and didn't even know it. Yea, gray hairs are here and there upon him. He's got age behind him. He's got experience behind him. Yet he still didn't realize. Yet he knoweth not. Can I tell you? I don't care how old you are. I don't care how long you've been in this thing. If we don't maintain, if we don't purpose, if we don't focus, if we don't stay in alignment, we can lose our strength. We could lose our separation. We can get all mixed up inside and not know what's up and what's down. I don't want that. 1 Peter 2:11.
Dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul.
Abstain from fleshly lust. It's a war. It's a battle. It's crazy. There's things going on in social media. There are people trying to reach out to others on social media. There are things that are happening. It's a war. You gotta guard your heart. You gotta guard your mind. You gotta guard your emotions. You all want a relationship, yeah, but that's not the way to get it. Find somebody in the altar. Find somebody in the altar. You know, there's nobody here. Well, go to a place where there's a conference. If you do nothing else and you need a spouse, go to a conference and look at the people in the altar. Somebody who's praying. Look for somebody who's got a reputation that you can bank on. Amen. Well, they're new in the church and they're cute, wonderful. It's going to be a couple years before they have proven themselves. The last thing we want is someone to come to the church, marry one of our good girls, and 6 months later backslide. Then they gotta deal with that the rest of their life. So, hey, this is good preaching. We are not at home here. We are pilgrims in this world. We're strangers here. Hey, they look at me funny. They're supposed to. You're a stranger. They look at me funny. You're a pilgrim. You got big buckles and a weird hat. That might be a cowboy. But either way, go ahead and read 1 Peter 4, 1 through 4.
For as much then as Christ hath suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves likewise with the same mind. For he that has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin, that he no longer should live the rest of his time in the flesh to the lusts of men, but to the will of God. For the time past of our life may suffice us to have wrought the will of the Gentiles, when we walked in lasciviousness, lust, excess of wine, revelings, banquetings, and abominable idolatries, wherein ye think it strange that ye run not with them, wherein they think it strange, to the same excess of riot, speaking evil of you.
They think it's weird that we don't go to the same places they go.
Right.
They think it's weird we don't do the same things they do. They think it's crazy that we don't spend hundreds of thousands of dollars to go to sports games and buy the stuff and do all of that so that we could have beer thrown on us and worship idols of men who are not worthy of our praise. There ain't a sport athlete out there worthy of my praise. There ain't a movie star or a country singer or an entertainer in this world worthy. Jesus is the only one worthy. He's the only one worthy of my adoration. He's the only one worthy of my praise. Let them all do what they want. They can call me crazy, but I'm redeemed. I'm blood bought. I'm saved, sanctified, and on my way to heaven. Amen. And they're going to say, hey, what do you think about that game last night? I don't know. Brother Morton knew. He would always say those Fresno State Bobcats. Always. And someone in the church would fall for it and say, Bulldogs. He said, how do you know? Well, it's like does anybody know that there's a team downtown that plays on blue turf? I guess we're playing on blue turf now too right now. Blue seats anyway. I mean, anybody know their colors? Anybody know their name? Nobody knows? The Bucks?
Bobcats.
The Bobcats, right. The Boise State Bobcats. Hey, I'm telling you what, you don't have to walk very far in this Treasure Valley to know who their God is. You don't have to go very far in any store to figure out who the Treasure Valley's God is. And those ones that worship the false God is the Vandals. Come on, you know how it is. I don't even care which one wins or loses. I just know how they talk about it. I know Christians who will skip church on Sunday to watch their football team on Sunday and watch their and they won't go to church or Bible study to watch the Broncos player. Whatever. They talk about it like it's the Bible. And yet they don't know that the wise men weren't at the manger. Is this not right? Oh, they could tell you the stats of their little God who ran with the football last year. But what is Pentecost? What does that mean? How do you spell that? Well, look at the book of Acts.
Oh, come on.
Well, let's just buy cards and sing Christmas carols about the wise men. We haven't got there yet, Laney, and I'm already preaching against it. And they go, they weren't there. No, that's how wise this world is. We got to make sure we don't worship any gods or let them think we're strange. I like when they. I remember the one time we were in a Foodland. I remember Foodland, y'all from California. Dad, you remember Foodland? I was in the Foodland on Bullard and Marks out there, Bullard and West somewhere out there, and I'm young. I'm 13 or 14 years old. I'm decent size for my age, probably almost 6 foot tall, wore a 16 and a half shirt. I look like a kid that was a little bit older or whatever. And the guy goes, man, you're going to be a football player? I said, I'm going to be a preacher. My mom looked at me like, what in the world? I don't even know where it came from. I just didn't want to be associated with that.
Right.
I'd already been there, done that. I already went to the elementary school, and they promised me grades, and they promised me all the things I could do if I'd play in their schools and do their thing. I'd already been there, done that. I got the shirt and the scars to prove it. I said, I don't want to be anything close to that. So I threw out what I knew. I want to be a preacher. And that man, I remember his face. He didn't know what to say. He goes, well, okay. Start scanning the groceries. I want them to think it's strange. I want them to think we're crazy. I want them to ask questions. You watched the game yesterday? No, I was at church. Man, you should have been there. We were running the aisles. We were dancing. We were shouting. We were rejoicing. You got mad and beat your wife because your team lost. We were worshiping God and praising him and sitting in heavenly places. Amen. That's the way it ought to be. Get excited about church like they do about their sports. Go ahead. What's the next? Oh, Judges. Samson's troubles were caused by mixing himself with Philistines. He got in there. He was supposed to be the protector of God's people. Read Judges 15 and 16. He was supposed to be the protector of God's people, yet he went down and mixed with them. It was so bad that if you listen to love songs on soft rock radio, the lady said, Delilah. That's how it worked out for him. He had to kill himself with all them Philistines. What a mess that was.
Yes, sir.
What a mess that was. Go ahead and read 1 John 2:15.
Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever.
He that doeth the will of God abideth forever. I want to do the will of God. I want to live forever. I want to be with him. Amen. Amen. King Solomon, we already talked about this. He loved many strange women. He went after, his heart was turned. For surely they will turn away your heart after their gods. Solomon clave unto these in love. He loved them. They were eccentric. They were out there. They were exotic. And he fell in love with them. They're better than our plain women. Something called holiness plain. Ma'am, you look at the wrong people. You look at the wrong holiness. We have some of the most beautiful women in the world that have never done anything to their body or try to enhance their body in any way. But God's holiness and God's beauty is all over them. I'm going to tell you something. I don't care what the world says. I don't care what the world's trying to sell you. You can put well blubber on your face if you want. But I'm going to tell you, the beauty is in the holiness and the Holy Ghost. I'm going to tell you, there's the most, my God. I feel the Holy Ghost tonight. There's victory, and they're going to turn us if they can. You don't know what's real and what's fake. We're not playing by the same rules as Hollywood.
Come on.
Our women age gracefully. And men, oh, help me, Jesus. You men, don't compare your wives to the women in the world who are doing things and promiscuous and all that, whatever, to enhance themselves. And don't look at your wife and say, oh, if my wife was this or my wife was that. No, your wife is beautiful the way God made her.
Amen.
And so you get caught up, and that's all fake. I said this one time.
Right.
Well, she's in her 60s, and look at her. Yeah, but her age may be 60, but the rest of her is about 15 or 20 years old. It ain't fair. That's not apples to apples. That's not oranges to oranges. That's Hollywood and magic and salons and dietitians and all they worry about is making money and become sex symbols so that other people can spend money on them. Well, is that too plain? We ought to have some shouting women in the house tonight. Praise God. Hey, I watched my wife watch 4 kids today. In the midst of a chaos, in the midst of turmoil, in the midst of trouble. And I've never been more proud of the way she handled herself and carries herself than I am today. Hey, it's crazy. You watch 4 kids for one day. Sister Joy, we could say amen tonight. It's crazy sometimes. But you know what? We're still holy. We're still in church. We're still here. We may have had to repent 15 times today, but we're here. We were testing that 7 times. We've seen if a just man can fall 8 or 9 or 10 or 12. I can tell you what, he can fall 490 times as long as he keeps getting up. That's right. So here we go. We're moving on. We got 15 minutes before 9 to get through the rest of this, so we're going to hurry. Clear in sexual distinction. God's word consistently maintains a clear distinction between men and women. The reason for there to be such a clear distinction can easily be seen by the example of our unisex culture, where homosexuality is quickly becoming the accepted as alternate lifestyle. No response. And this book was written a long time ago. This book was written a long time ago. We're living in a world now where it's gender fluid. They can alternate back and forth on a whim. People say, what's the big deal with women wearing that and men wearing that? What's the big deal? Where it's come to. So there are two things that the Bible uses for gender distinction: hair and clothing. Bible truth about sexual distinction is expressed in hair. Read 1 Corinthians 11, 1 through 16. Now, we're going to skip around, brother. Just bear with me for a second. Bear with them for a second. Bear with all of us for a second. He starts off like this. Hold on. You couldn't hear me. I said, I'm going to. Is this working? Not your fault. I know the sound system's weird in here. But he said, be ye followers of me as I am of Christ. I'm going to be the example, is what Paul said. You look at me. Be imitators of me as I am an imitator of Christ. I'm trying to stand in Christ's stead so that you see him. Okay? Go ahead and read verse number 4.
Every man praying or prophesying, having his head covered, dishonoreth his head.
But every woman, verse 5, go ahead, keep reading.
But every woman that prayeth or prophesieth with her head uncovered, dishonoreth her head, for that is even all as if she were shaven. For if the woman be not covered, let her also be shorn. But if it be a shame for a woman to be shorn or shaven, let her be covered. For a man indeed ought not to cover his head, for as much as he is the image and glory of God, but the woman is the glory of the man. For the man is not of the woman, but the woman of the man. Neither was the man created for the woman, but the woman for the man. For this cause ought the woman to have power on her head because of the angels. Nevertheless, neither is the man without the woman, neither the woman without the man in the Lord. For as the woman is of the man, even so is the man also by the woman, but all things of God. Judge in yourselves, is it comely for a woman that a woman pray unto God uncovered? Doth not even nature itself teach you that if a man have long hair, it is a shame unto him? But if a woman have long hair, it is a glory to her, for her hair is given her for a covering. But if any man seem to be contentious, we have no such custom, neither the churches of God.
Okay, so one of the distinctions between men and women is hair. Long hair on women, short hair on men. Several terms need defining. Verses 4 through 6 use the term covered repeatedly without defining what covered is. Verse 15 tells us that the hair is given for a covering. It's not a veil. It's not a hat. It's not a cloth. It is the hair. It's given for a covering. Therefore, verses 4 through 6 are referring to hair when the word covered is being used. Shorn means to be cut, trimmed, or made shorter. Men were taught to cut their hair as a mark of distinction. Verse number 4 and 14. Long hair dishonors a man's head. It dishonors the individual, but it also dishonors Christ, who is the spiritual head of the man. Nature teaches it is a shame for a man to have long hair. We accept short, shaven, or bald. I'm just reading what the book says. I added this, or balding. Because it's natural. Well, how long is too long? Men should keep on getting their hair cut. The guideline does not require us to be extreme, but to be clearly a man. Now, I haven't been alive very long, not as long as some, but I heard that when they started growing their hair out in the 60s, it was out of rebellion. That was quiet. I wasn't there, but I heard that the hippie era brought in this long hair on men, these different things on men, and then all of a sudden, the skirts got short, and the women were doing their thing, and the men were doing their thing, and there was these blurred lines. And now, we live in a world where there are no lines, and they think we're weird from holding back or holding these old-fashioned standards. Women are taught to leave their hair uncut as a mark of distinction. There are 6 reasons why a woman should leave their hair long and uncut. So she always is covered. What does it mean for a woman to be not covered? It means to be shorn, which we know is cut, trimmed, or made shorter. Paul likened shorn to be shaven. In other words, the woman's hair had been cut. Now, I'm just throwing this in. I got to go quick, but Connor and Carson and I used to work for a guy that went to a church, a big church out in Boise, and his pastor got up and was teaching on this scripture, and this is what he said. Did we listen to the video? He said, according to the Bible, apostolic women should not cut their hair. And he put his hands up like he was going to be stoned. He said it according to the Bible. And he was not referring to apostolic as a doctrine or denomination. He was talking to the people, the apostolics of the Bible, the apostolic doctrine of the Bible, because they do know it's in there. And he literally put his hands up like, now women, don't get mad at me. I'm just telling you what Scripture says. So women, don't get mad at me. Just telling you what Scripture says. Okay, so because praying and prophesying uncovered is a shame, the Bible says. Remembering the covering refers to hair, dishonoring her head, physically her own body, and spiritually her husband. Paul said she was dishonoreth her head, that she had just as well be shaven. Now, we're not going to read these scriptures to you, but they're here. I'm not going to read them in their entirety. But Isaiah 3 and 17, he said that he would cause a scab to go on the crown of their head. You're going to lose your hair, you're going to have a scab on your head. And then in verse 24, he said instead of a well-set hair, I'm going to give you baldness. Did I say something funny? Did I do something funny? What's wrong, bald boy? It's not hard enough to preach this as it is. He said, look, I'm going to take away the set of your hair and give you baldness. That was not a good thing. I'm trying to finish here. Don't get me mad. It's not a good thing. So I don't, when we talk about being shorn or shaven, we want to make sure that we are doing God honor and the church honor. Okay, so we're almost done. I'll give you hope. Did I miss something here? Hold on. Let me get. Oh, here we are. Okay. The truth about sexual distinction expressed by clothing. Read 1 Timothy 2:9.
In like manner also, that women adorn themselves in modest apparel with shamefacedness and sobriety, not with broidered hair or gold or pearls or costly array.
Let me get back to what I got. I got distracted. I didn't get to finish my thought on hair. We do it because it's their glory. I have been with Paulina at a O'Reilly's in La Grande, Oregon. When that little short thing got out of the car and her hair went all the way to her, past her knees and her calves, and they were looking at her hair. They were talking about how beautiful her hair was, how long it was. These are the men in the O'Reilly's in La Grande, Oregon. They said, look at that girl. Look at that girl's hair. That's amazing. Who'd that bring attention to? That's glory. That's God's glory on her. And so now, my sister, her hair goes about to her shoulders, maybe a little bit longer than that. My mom's got the same way. But guess what? It's still not cut. It's long hair. Uncut. Long hair on women just means uncut. I don't trim it. I don't burn it. I don't. What was the old saying they used to say? I don't burn off with the curling iron. I don't. You know, women used to sit there and let the curling iron burn some of the dead ends off their hair and try to figure out how to make it. It don't look good that way. You know, if you're going to do it, just go do it right. I'm not advocating that. But what I'm saying is, like, that doesn't work. It just means leave it alone. Someone said, in fact, Brother Prado said one time, he said, you Pentecostals make a big deal about hair. He said, our big deal about hair is leave it alone. He said, Maybelline makes a big deal about hair. Right. Suave makes a big deal about hair. Right. All them hair products make a big deal about hair. We just say leave it alone. And that's not saying you can't put things in to make it healthy and grow longer. Man, make it beautiful. Make it great. We want that. But, you know, the Bible does not speak favorably of women cutting their hair. So just let it grow long. It's going to be a blessing. And there's beautiful. There's nothing like. I'm going to tell you something. Let me just throw this out there because this is life. There is nothing like beautiful hair on a woman. And there's nothing grosser than that same hair anywhere else. In your sock, in your food, wherever it may. And we don't have that problem. But I've been places where they just whatever with their hair. You want to eat? Nope, not eating here tonight. Nope, no thank you. So we'll throw that out there. So take care of it so that it doesn't do that. Praise God. All right. Distinction. Now you have a reason to laugh, Carson. Distinction as expressed by clothing. Women should wear modest apparel. Men should also wear modest apparel. The Bible, the Greek word for modest apparel is katastole. Katastole something today. I don't know what it is. It means long robe. At the time, men wore a stole or a robe which reached slightly below the knee. Women were to wear a katastole or a long robe. Even though both wear robes, they were quite distinction between them. Deuteronomy chapter 22 and verse number 5. Go ahead and read, Brother O'Connor.
The woman shall not wear that which pertaineth unto a man, neither shall a man put on a woman's garment, for all that do so are abomination unto the Lord thy God.
An abomination in God's sight is immoral in nature. Only six things in the writings of Moses were spoken of as an abomination in God's sight. Each of the six is something that a Christian would consider a thing to hate. The only one in Christian society that is put under attack is Deuteronomy 22 and 5. Homosexuality is considered an abomination. Idols are considered abomination. Involvement in the zodiac or the demonic or witchcraft is considered an abomination. The use of unfair scales is an abomination. And wearing clothes that pertaineth to a man, vice versa, is an abomination. Notice nowhere does it say anything about pants or dresses. Ooh, we're a holiness church, and you just said that didn't say pants or dresses. God is interested in clear distinctions. That's what he's concerned about. I just went to a restaurant that I have only been to twice, never used their restrooms, but the sandwich that I ate last night required me to wash my hands. I felt like it was from Carl's Jr. It doesn't get all over the place. It doesn't belong in your face. That's kind of how I felt. It was dripping down. It was real dietary and healthy. I had never been to this restaurant before, I just had a hope that the sign on the door was right. Y'all are quiet. You laugh at the wrong spots and then don't laugh at the good ones. I walked into the bathroom, saw a sink, saw two stalls, but didn't see the customary places that men usually have installed in bathrooms. I thought, did I walk into the wrong restroom? All I was doing was washing my hands, so I wanted to make sure I did that. And then I opened that door looking for the guy standing there, hoping I didn't see a skirt. As someone said, it's not a skirt, it was a cape. Either way, it looks like a skirt, according, because that's how they distinguish between men and women in today's society. What's the big deal? Ask yourself that question in 2025. Sister O'Connor, she texted me one day. She said, Pastor, I invited my mom's neighbor to church. He was out doing yard work. Hey, you ought to come to church with us tonight. He said, I'd love to. She texted me about 4:45. Pastor, I don't know what to do. He got in our car. He's wearing a pink dress. It's true. The title of my message that night was The Signs That Will Change a Man and Then a Church. I did not preach. I thought, God, you're going to have to move in this house. I cannot preach this message.
Yes.
The Holy Ghost moved. And without saying a word, without rebuking anybody, without anything, I didn't do anything. He just got up. He used the men's restroom, and then he went and sat outside the rest of the service. And I didn't preach. I just missed early. I can't preach that message. I don't think I've ever preached it because I can't every time I go. And it's a good message. He's talking about when Saul went up to the hill and prophesied, God gave him a new heart, changed his heart. It changed the whole dynamics of the people. But I just couldn't do it. What I'm saying is this, clear distinctions. Now I scratched it out. Remember, Kata, when I scratched this out, because it said that if the culture was that women wore pants and men wore skirts, that's what we would do. I scratched that out. I said, not today, Satan. You know, supposedly I'm Scottish and Irish. Both those heritages have kilts. I don't care how big and sharp your knife is, you shouldn't be wearing a skirt. That's a place to laugh. That would be... So what I'm saying is this, it's distinction. And today's world proves why there should be distinction. Proves why there should be a clear distinction. Society recognizes the need for a distinction and observed by the fact that women's restrooms are still symbolically marked by a woman and a man. Symbol for a man is him in pants. The symbol for a woman portrays her in a skirt. Sexual distinction means that you can be denoted as a male or a female if I'm looking at you from a distance. Let's stand tonight. 9:02, and I'm closing with this. I usually don't read the comments at the end of these lessons, but I feel tonight that this is adequate because I agree with these comments. I realize that much of the material covered in this lesson over the past few weeks is brand new to some. Living a holy lifestyle is a progressive thing. One does not become a mature Christian overnight. I don't care how much holiness you get, revelation of holiness instantly, it takes time to become a mature Christian. But here's the point, we're trying to become a mature Christian. Your development depends on obedience. The things you receive are to be obeyed. The things received are those things taught and comprehended. The reasoning is understood. If there's not understanding, there will not be obedience. There can't be. Doesn't make sense. If you have questions about it, man, come ask me. If you want more time and you want to ask privately, come ask me. But here's what I would say. Keep coming. I would rather you come and never get it than quit coming and never get it. There may be a day when the light just clicks. There may be a moment when things just, the revelation just comes. Because that's how it comes to all of us. No, none of us just got it and started doing it. Revelation. Revelation. The oneness of God. Revelation. In front of the Holy Ghost. Revelation. Being baptized in Jesus' name. Revelation. All of it. Revelation. Nobody here is demanding that you live by a lifestyle you don't understand. All that we're asking is if you have questions, just ask them. But if you think, I'll never do that, I'll never do that, I just don't get it, that's fine too. Just keep coming. We'll love, and I don't know who I may be talking to or may be listening. We'll love you because we already do. We already do. So just keep coming. I was talking to Brother Morton about this lesson today, and he said, you're teaching a new converts class. I said, yes, sir. He said, man, that's a pretty good idea. I said, we got young people who have never been through a new converts class. They were just raised to do this. And they go out there on the job, and they don't have answers. They don't have answers for why we do what we do. Well, my pastor says this. No, the Bible says this. And so just keep coming until revelation clicks. And if revelation never clicks, you gave it a chance. And then that's between you and God. You're going to have to figure that one out. But here it is, and we'll close in with this. In my observation, that when people decide to be disobedient in a particular area, it freezes his or her growth in all other areas of Christian life. It is only when they decide to submit totally to God's will for their life that their Christian growth can continue. I can tell you from experience of pastoring and being a saint, that is 100% true. 100% true. If I struggle, I told a young man one time. I know, I'm supposed to be closing. He said, I don't believe in speaking in tongues. I can't get a revelation of it. I can't get it. It doesn't make sense to me. This man was in church before I got there and was pastoring. Long time. And it just never got it. And I said, look, let's talk about it. We talked. He wouldn't. No matter what literature, no matter what scriptures I gave him, no matter what, how I explain it, he goes, it's the same stuff. It's just the same apostolic expression. It's the same explanation. What can I do? I said, you believe everything else? Absolutely. One is absolutely. Jesus' name, absolutely. Holy, absolutely. I said, I'm going to tell you something. If you don't get this revelation, you will eventually give it up, all of it. And he did. I don't rejoice in that. I'm not happy about that. I just told him, if you don't get it, everything else you believe will slowly deteriorate. And he's not in church today. He's lost. I don't even know what he believes anymore. One thing. I said, man, if 99% you believe, but 1% you don't. I said, God, I believe. Help down my unbelief. Show me. But if you got your heart set that no, it ain't right, you're going to give it all up. That's just the way it is. So I would just ask us all, young men, this is as much for young people as new converts or people who've been in church a long time, people who've been out of church for a long time, coming back into it. Maybe I never heard this stuff. In fact, Brother Caleb just told me, he said, I've never heard it taught like that before. I've never heard it distinctly laid out like that before. You know what? It's good for all of us. It's good for me. I get excited about it, and I'm trying to live it. It's good for all of us. Anybody glad you came to church tonight? Amen. Anybody glad you got the Holy Ghost? Anybody glad you're on your way to heaven? Oh, let's lift our hands. Let's clap our hands. Let's worship the Lord tonight. Oh, he's good. His mercy endureth forever, and his truth endureth to all generations. We love you, Savior. Come on, give the Lord a hand clap of praise tonight. Come on, give the Lord a hand clap of praise tonight. Amen, amen, amen. God bless you. If you would, come by the church. Even if you can't come out and work, that's fine. come out and see the grounds, the site. It's all flat. If you want a tree stump, if you've been dying to have a tree stump in your yard, we have one for you. And if we can, we'll deliver it. If we get enough ants under it, we can carry it. If the uncles will help. Some of you will get that later. Oh, boy. All right. God bless you. If you want to meet and greet, now's the time to do it. If you want to laugh, go over and see Carson. Praise God.